I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit korin.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Japanese. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from our studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify this in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Luca Catalfamo, who is the chef owner of a ramen shop called Casa Ramen in Milan. And I first met Luca December last year at Manhattan's Ramen Lab, where he had a pop-up with Kenshiro Uki, who came on the show on episode 11 to talk about his ramen noodles. And Luca's energy and his unique style of ramen was so impressive that I asked him to come to our shop. And Luca also has a shop called Casa Luca in a ramen museum in Yokohama, Japan, which is truly an honorable achievement as a ramen chef. So today we'll discuss how Luca got into ramen, how he trained himself to cook the traditional Japanese fast food, and his ramen shop in Milan, and much, much more. But quickly before we start, Japan Eats is available on Heritage Radio Network website, as well as iTunes and Stitcher podcasts. So please go to iTunes and Stitcher Podcast and subscribe to Japan Eats. Also, if you have ideas about topics of the show or show guests, please let us know. And you can email us at japaneats@heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you so much. Now, let's go back to our conversation today. Hello, Luca. Welcome to Japan Eats.
Hi, everybody. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao. So first of all, please tell us about your background. So I heard that you are an experienced chef in Western cuisine before. So how did you get into cooking in the first place?
I was a big fan of the one of the restaurants in Milano. So it was my favorite restaurant in Milano. So I just asked them to hire me once. It was like so easy that time. So that's I asked they at the time they needed one help. So I started to cook for them.
Oh, wow. Was it an Italian restaurant?
It was Italian restaurant, yes. Mm,
okay. And so after that, what's your journey? Where did you work?
The plan was as a stage in that restaurant and go around the world. So that's it. But I hadn't a skill to cook outside. So that's because I decided to propose me to this restaurant. Mm. And after 6 months, I left the restaurant. I came here in New York to make a stage. So that's my first experience was in Italy. I had a stage here in New York. After that, we went to Sydney and then London and back to Milan.
Wow, yes. Very impressive.
It was really 3 years really intense, but fun at the same time.
So. Mm, so where did you work in New York? Which restaurant?
Balabusta.
Oh, wow.
So Israeli. So I never worked in a ramen place before opening Casa Ramen. So I just had many experiences in different kind of cuisine. Mm. Italian first in Milan, of course, but even Israeli in New York, in Sydney, something different, and the only Japanese experience I had it was in London, but was a udon place called Koya.
Oh wow!
Yes.
Interesting. So why wouldn't place?
Just because I heard about the restaurant was good, so they decided like approach me to the Japanese culture, Japanese cuisine with the restaurant. Basically, I worked like a tempura boy in the restaurant, so they're completely different. But at that time, was really a big fan of ramen. But that's like you really like an actor or singer. You don't want to know him, so because maybe it's something that maybe is not funny, is not sympathy. So I decided just to work in Japanese restaurant, but not in ramen place.
Mm. So you absorb the culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Which restaurant in London? I'm curious.
Koya. That's now is closed. It's open the sister one's Koya Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And was really, really good experience. So.
Wow, to check that out.
Yeah, of course, you have to. This.
Okay, so how did you get into ramen?
Here, sounds strange, but here in New York and not in Japan. Mm. I just was walking by Ippudo.
Mm-hmm.
I saw many people outside as usual waiting for Ippudo.
I heard as long as like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Right, to get the bowl of ramen.
Yeah, exactly. I was angry. I asked why people waiting in line. They say, "Oh, you're waiting for ramen." I never heard about ramen before that time. So I say, "Well, I'm so curious." So, I stay. And after 30 minutes waiting, I was lucky that time.
Mm.
The ramen came out. So I was just love at the first sight.
Mm. What was so special about ramen, like from Ippudo?
So overall, Ippudo's ramen is good. Mm. So that's the first reason. But was like the 50 sense of comfort food for me. I was outside Italy, and I was alone in New York, and I saw this bowl of ramen with the hot broth. Noodles, meat, everything in the same bowl. It was like a mama hug. So that's and then it was like also the flavor was really, really good. So that's from that point I start studying about ramen, making research about ramen.
That's, okay.
And also, but most important, eating ramen from that.
Right. Yeah, it's like it's a universal appeal that warm liquid,
yeah,
and dashi soup, and then some carbohydrate in it.
Yeah,
it's like everybody loves it. Right. Yeah, and Ippudo, I think it's very traditional,
yes,
classic
exactly.
style of ramen.
Yeah, it's still a good one. It's one of my favorite. Of course, it's a feeling old when I eat Ippudo ramen is. Every time it's like to back to the when I eat my first, but it's a traditional. Also, they can make the same quality also even outside Japan. So it's difficult to do.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So so where did you learn to cook ramen?
That's another thing that could be strange, but from internet, YouTube, and just for a few books, I just starting like a fan. So that's making research on YouTube, and this was my start to approach for ramen. So there are no. At the time, wasn't school or nobody wanted to teach you about ramen. So that's how I make just research by myself.
Interesting, because I think even now there's no ramen culinary school.
There's just a few books in English and a few in Japanese.
Mm.
For example, that's one of the books that I studied. Really, I just literally studied was Ivan Ramen book. And now I just came from Hawaii, and we were cooking together ramen otherwise. So it was
interesting. And well, by the way, we had a charity bus like for the we had the auction for to fund the fundraising, and there's a Ippudo Master Chef cooking class.
Okay.
And somebody won the prize, and then but the chef said if it was sold in Japan to take the class because it's so rare and Ippudo is so famous, it could cost $150,000.
Minimum.
right. So. But you're from Italy, right? So, you know, is it easier for you? Because it's a country, kingdom of pasta. So is this something, you know, you can really see how well it's cooked, how much you cook the noodles, that kind of thing?
Maybe easier about pasta, but not about the flavor and everything that's matched in the bowl. Because I literally had to build... my culture for ramen because I didn't grow up with ramen so as a Japanese people or Asian people so I had to eat many bowls of ramen study to just making my taste my flavor my idea of ramen about noodles maybe yes because we have. Some skills as a cook, not as Italian, because nobody, for example, in Italian, making pizza. that's because I decided to also in Italy making my own noodle. So we make everyday noodles for our ramen. So
interesting, because I think a lot of ramen chefs here and in Japan, like they don't think of. Making ramen noodles in the first place, but that's Italian mindset, maybe.
Yeah, that's for that because I want to make something with my own style. So that's if you buy noodles, it's not bad, but maybe you can make something like making noodles at home. You make something completely different from the other. So that's one of the reason I make my noodles.
Okay. We'll get into that the details later.
Yeah.
So what's the concept of the Casa Ramen in Milan?
The concept is when I decide to open Casa Ramen, I had like a really precise things when I wanted to do. So it was like a funny place, cozy, and affordable. That's because people have to enjoy to come back also more than one time and also combine Italian cultures with Japanese culture. So that's my ramen place is not like in Japan when you go and you eat ramen like 5 minutes and go, but also, it's not like an Italian restaurant when you go in and you stay 2-3 hours. Mm. So it is in the middle. So the average is 1 hour.
Right.
so you stay, you eat, you have fun. But also the place is small as a Japanese ramen shop. Mm. So that's people they change, and that's it's not really. It's for Italian culture. It's so strange, you know, to stay and pass spend the entire evening in the restaurant. But people like it, so that's it's fun. So that's,
it's more social.
It's more social, yes. Right. I have just one big table, so everybody can social. That's Milano. For Milano, it's so strange, you know.
Well, that's interesting. That you know, like, as you know, in Japan. Train stations have ramen shops, and there's a vending machine. You get the ticket, eat, and then you just eat. Like you said, you leave in 5 minutes.
Exactly. You eat by yourself and then don't speak even with the chef.
Right. And
also if he's in front of you.
Right?
Yeah.
That's funny. So there's a culture of quick eating of ramen in Japan, but versus... Here, I think in New York, and as far as I know, you're doing the same things, more social.
Yes, it's more like New York than Japan. Of course, when the ramen came, so in Italy we have to we have to talk, we have to take a picture before eating. Sometimes come the balls and they go to the bathroom and come back. You cannot also, I can say, like eating with the chopstick very fast. So that's the other strange that we happen in Italy, that we with the chopstick we roll it. We're rolling on the spoon is a spaghetti, but
right.
With the chopsticks, it's also a hard job to do, but they do.
Wow, I have to learn a technique.
Yes, exactly. But I cannot complain because it's in our cultures.
Right.
So that's it's inside.
Yeah, so. And so by doing it, you don't have to slurp.
Yeah,
loudly.
Exactly. I try to say to slurp, but it's so difficult.
It takes another 10 years something.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Right. So what kind of ramen do you serve at Casa Ramen?
We serve basically the most the tonkotsu ramen.
Mm-hmm.
From the south of Japan. And also we have a vegetarian option and one mazemen, so the noodles without soup. It's mm-hmm. very, very spicy.
Mm.
And three, but one of them is completely different from of the three. So that's the no soup is really, really spicy. It's something that there isn't soup, but you keep in mind because it's so
right.
It's so spicy. It's called the noodles dopo peperoncino.
Mm.
And the other one is a vegetarian. Also, is vegan if you don't put egg, because I think it's a so in your new wave to make ramen. It's not like just meat. You can make the good taste without meat. You can do that.
Mm.
And tonkotsu, but
okay.
My own version of tonkotsu, of course. Mm.
So these are the three favorite styles of yours of ramen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. So the what kind of dashi tonkotsu? How do you make your tonkotsu soup?
It's a long process.
Mm.
Takes 3 days, so we get the bones in the water. We
clean the pork bones.
Pork bones and head bones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I buy every bones in Milano that they can sell it because before me nobody wants to get the bones, and now I had to make it was difficult to make a research who buy the bones. So so head bones and genkotsu.
Mm-hmm.
We clean it. We make with these bones and
genkotsu is the knuckles.
And so it boiled for 12-14 hours.
Mm.
Rest for one night. And we serve it the day after.
Mm. Wow. So, and do you add any kombu or any Japanese dashi elements?
We have just a little secret.
Okay. So.
No, but wait. I can say that the kombu is a part of of the soup.
Right. Because I read all those blogs, and then somebody who tasted your soup, it's like a milder, kombu flavor, and I think he got it right.
Yeah, this, about the flavors, I had basically two different tastes or opinion.
Mm.
Sometimes, Italian, the people that come in Milano, they taste it and they say, "Oh, wow, is it really Japanese?" I went to Japan last year, for example, and it tasted like Japanese back mimi in Japan. When I make now in Japan my same ramen with, but. And Japanese people taste it and say, "Oh, wow, back me too in Italy."
Mm.
So that's I don't know, maybe it's the soul they put in the ramen and they just like taste the soul in the ramen. It's so strange. So.
Mm. Okay, so that's like cultural elements that you cannot describe.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay, and I also heard that you blend drum semolina with flour for your ramen noodles. So what's the benefit of using drum semolina?
Semolina also is used to make pasta, spaghetti. It's a little Italian touch in the noodles, but for one reason because make more elastic the noodles, so it doesn't become soggy.
Right.
And that's one of the.
So. It stays the same time. Even if you're staying at longer at the table, with social.
Exactly. Right. That's the problem because that's the reason.
Okay, and and also I heard you boil the noodles more al dente, like a chewier texture.
Yeah, because I like to eat noodles and to like. Taste the noodles and bite the noodles. So that's because I prefer al dente. And then in Milano, we make al dente. The customer, they don't have a choice. But in Japan, we make two different choice. One is al dente. That's my favorite, my suggest. And the other one is more soft. It's more Japanese, so more Japanese side. But I have to say that even in Japan, most of the people choose al dente.
So interesting, because I think, this is my imagination, but if you slurp and you just go eat quickly, you don't think of, like a chewiness too much. And I think a slightly overcooked may be easier for the mouth. But then if you eat slowly... You know, the al dente-ness may be more important.
Yeah, that's important. But also, when you taste it, it's al dente, you have it, you crunch, so you have a bite, you can... it's more like... can I say, more funny also to enjoy the noodles.
Right.
It's not just... it's just not soup, the ramen, but also it's noodles is important.
Well, in at the same time, if you chew noodles more, then you enjoy the soup more slowly.
Yeah.
So it's the experience maximized in a way. Right. Okay. And also I heard that you make chashu or pork topping in pancetta style. So how do you cook the pork?
How you cook it? Also, this is takes time to make it. We marinated the shashu, the pancetta, so that's a pork belly, with salt and sugar for overnight. We clean it after, and we put it in the oven, and we make it like a confit, like a confit. So the result is not with the soy. It's not soy. It's not. In there, like a shashu, but it's more like a roasted pork belly. So the result is like a roasted flavor in the ramen.
Right. So,
because even soya and the other flavors come out from the other slice of pork belly that I put in the ramen. Because in King Tonkotsu you can find the shashu, like a roasted one, and also one square of kakuni. So that's a combination of roasted pork belly and more classic traditional shashu.
I want to taste that right now. Right. So sounds like pancetta style. It's more, you can taste more of pork itself.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. But that's you cooking in this style. I think also it's just pork. If the pork belly is a good one, just mix like it's a, like it's a rich of umami, so that's cook like this, just like natural, so no flavor, with the non adding flavor. It's just like when you eat a slice of tuna, it's just tuna, but when you put in the mouth, it's a good one. We choose a good pork belly from the farm close to the Milano, and that's it's really good. So you have just to cook it in the oven, and umami come out by itself.
It's amazing. I think it's a lucky thing that ramen is cooked by you, because it's a new way of thinking of ramen, right? And then that's the best part of Italian cooking, incorporated into Japanese traditional ramen.
Yeah, I just enjoy what they're making. So that's the first and. I learned one of the things that I learned about ramen is the first rule of ramen is no rule. I'm just making what I like it. So that's people like it. So I'm really happy to make.
Right. So there's no. That's why there's no book of ramen. That's right.
It's impossible.
Right. But I think you're proposing a big model.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And with all those noble ideas, how do you describe the style of your ramen? It's richer, lighter.
I think both. Mm-hmm. It's rich in the taste, but at the same time, light. So it's my tonkotsu. In Japan, most of them tonkotsu. Also, in the idea of people, tonkotsu is a rich, heavy, heavy ramen. But we live in Milano. We live in Italy. We pay attention to the health, and so I make tonkotsu. Say rich in taste by light, so that's I don't put over fat in there. So when I say we make a ramen, the soup, and we serve the day after, because when the soup does cool down, we screw up the fat on top.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons, because it's not heavy. So because when you eat my bowls of ramen, you have to come back to work, or you have to go to sleep. I don't want to say people that, oh, I drink your tonkotsu all the night. So
wow.
That's because I want. That's the reason I am making this one this way.
It's often the case that, you cannot eat ramen. To me, it's hard to eat ramen every day because, it's, like you said, yeah, it tends to be heavier. So I think I can eat your ramen every 2 days maybe.
Okay.
So let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about Luca's shop at the Ramen Museum in Japan. So please stay with us.
Music for this commercial break is brought to you by RecTech, and this track is called Field Trip World.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Korin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American. And that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Korin's unique store in Lower Manhattan is home to perhaps the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan, plus the rarest natural sharpening stones and exquisitely designed tableware. They also host special events such as knife sharpening demonstrations and parties with New York's most famous chefs and restaurateurs. Korin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the implicit and elegance of Japanese culture to your table, be it in your home or in the finest restaurant. For more information, visit korin.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Luca Catalfamo, who is the chef owner of the ramen shop Casa Ramen in Milan. And Luca also has a shop called the Casa Luca in Ramen Museum in Yokohama, Japan, which is truly an honorable achievement as ramen chef. So how popular is ramen in Milan? Who eats ramen at the Casa Ramen? How popular is ramen in Milan?
Became just popular in Milano. When I opened, I was the first ramen shop in Milano.
Wow.
People passing by my restaurant saw the ramen menu. There was like, what's the ramen is? And that's it. I say it in a good way. They use another word. But now it's become a little more popular. It's not ramen boom as here in New York, but it's popular enough. Right. I want to become more popular.
So people saw your shop and tasted your ramen. Well, that is interesting. And then people started to learn more about ramen, and the media is talking about New York ramen boom and everything.
Yeah. Yes. Now ramen is popular everywhere. And when people now in Milano is just starting to know about ramen, ask me about different kind of ramen. That's that moment in Milano is just the people discover ramen and decide if they like it or they don't like it. They didn't know about different kind of ramen, shio ramen, shoyu ramen, where the ramen come from. That's just came so that's you, here in New York is also popular. People slurp it. People don't know about ramen, but it's just we need more time.
Right. And who's eating ramen? Younger people? Or?
Surprisingly, both. Young people, family, kids, so everybody coming to Casa Ramen, eat ramen. Just in different Saturday and Sunday lunch, more of course family, and the evening more younger, and during the lunch, during the week, like a more worker, so that's it's a really a different kind of people.
Right. So how many seats do you have at your restaurant?
20.
Okay, so it must be really busy.
For a second, we are really busy. So we sold like more than 100 ramen per day. So that's, I'm pretty lucky. So
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Like you keep making the noodles for all 100, so that's a lot of noodle making too.
Yeah, that's because maybe it's not so popular ramen because it's hard to make, and that's it's a hard job, but I like it. So that's every day making, put effort to making something that you want to make. It's a lucky.
Right. So, and that is great that everybody is accepting ramen because it's a universal comfort food. I heard that you teach how to cook ramen in culinary school in Milano. Yeah. Yes. And so where do you teach?
I teach like a couple of times, but it's so difficult because you have like two, 3 hours to explain ramen, to explain how to cook ramen. So I just try to explain how to make ramen at home, but so not in that way I make in Casa Ramen. So, but people, they just because people have fun to cook and they want to know more about ramen, because most of the people that they came to the lesson, we became friends. Nobody cooks ramen in the house. They came, it's so hard. So that's they still coming to Casa Ramen eating my ramen. So that's
a good.
But what's funny? Yeah.
So. Right. But are they general public or they want to be a ramen chef? And open their
own No, just general puppy. No. Say this was like employee or people that were interested in ramen, but they just was curious about to cook ramen. It was a funny lesson, but maybe I'm not very. If I do that again, but
right. Are there many other ramen shops now in Milan?
Just a few, like a couple Japanese ramen restaurant, but not many. So.
So you're still a pioneer, and you have to keep working hard to enlighten people.
I think so. That's still a pioneer, but I hope people want to open a good ramen place in Milano because. Also, I'm still a big fan to eat ramen. I enjoy to eat ramen. So there's people coming. Somebody else open a good shop. I really enjoy to go.
Right, because you're going to keep eating your own ramen every day. Right. Let's talk about the Ramen Museum. So you have a shop in Shin Yokohama, Ramen Hakubutsukan, which is a ramen museum in Yokohama, near Tokyo. And you're one of the 9 ramen shops in the museum. Yes. And I heard all of the shops are only by invitation. Mm-hmm. So how did you become one of the precious vendors?
Oh, what's that? It's a big story for me because I've been opening for 1 year in Milano. And people from Ramen Museum, they were traveling in Europe, discovering new place to eat ramen, new ramen place. And they came to my shop for twice. It was closed.
Oh.
that time they came and it was open. They got in and they enjoyed ramen. We have a chance to talk. They came back like 1 month later, and we had a small interview about my ramen, about my passion for ramen. Mm-hmm. And after 1 week, when they came back to Japan, they decided to send me an email. It was about invitation to open a ramen shop in Shin Yokohama. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I decided in 2 seconds. So, wow, it's okay.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, so by the way, listeners, if you're not familiar with the Ramen Museum, mm-hmm. It's a must spot to visit in Japan if you like ramen, right?
Of course, yes.
And so according to their website, the Ramen Museum was founded in 1994 as the world's first fast food food-themed amusement park. And from the start, our concept has been to be the one-stop place to enjoy the flavors of this national dish from renowned shops across Japan without stepping on a plane. And so in 2014, they started to expand their Japan-wide concept. And then they started to invite worldwide ramen shops. I think that's where you got in.
Yeah, I discovered that I'm the first non-Japanese guy open a ramen shop in 20 years of Ramen Museum.
Mm.
So it's a big pleasure.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I heard it's the Ramen Museum is it's like a street replica from 1950-something.
Yeah,
right? It's like a ramen shop lined up and you can just go to different ramen shops.
Yeah, that's also a place that you can enjoy the atmosphere during you eat ramen. Because you go in and you have like 8 different kind of from Japan, so you travel with the ramen and now with also one from Europe. It was an interesting experience to be there, so I really like it.
So do you serve the same kind of ramen as in Milan?
Exactly the same ramen that I make in Milano. So tonkotsu ramen, noodles with peperoncino, and the veggie one.
So do you get different reaction from the customers?
When I told you before, the reaction was like, they tasted, said, oh, I like it. I can't taste your olive oil in there. But I didn't put olive oil in my ramen, so that's the mine. You know? I'm happy about that because they can taste my soul in there. So I'm not a big Japanese, and so I'm Italian. And when I cook, I put my Italian in what I to do. Even if I make ramen in Japanese style.
So that's the you know, those ramen museum executives decided to invite non-Japanese people. Yeah. So that's the whole point of changing that cultural bias, I think, in a way.
Yeah, exactly. That's, it's like a demonstration that they want to show that ramen now is everywhere. It's not just... It was born in Japan, so that's of course it's a popular food in Japan. But now it's everywhere, and people can make your own style of ramen. It's not just Japanese when you go outside, and people can change the flavor, can make something like more creative or something different.
Right.
Even say, if you are Japanese and you don't live in Tokyo. They go to Tokyo, they taste it, and they say, oh, it's not Japanese, it's not ramen, really Japanese, because Tokyo is more like most New York, so more creativity, you can find many kinds of ramen, so that's depends on the culture. So that's
right. But in any case, it's an inspiration to the tradition.
Exactly.
Right. So, but what is the benefit of having a shop in Japan for you as a chef? Does it advance your knowledge and skills?
Oh, yes. I was lucky enough to travel to Japan now every 2-3 months.
Mm.
So, and to taste many different kind of ramen, but not more like a tourist.
Mm.
And when I've been there before, open chef, but as a ramen chef. So, also with people from Ramen Museum, they teach me about the taste. They show me different kind of ramen, and again I was also lucky to work in a ramen shop, in a different ramen shop in Japan for a couple of days at Shinasobaya.
Wow.
And that was another amazing experience.
Well, sounds like Ramen Museum is kind of a community.
Yeah, that's a community.
Right.
That's a community Ramen Museum. It's a community of ramen chef in Japan, more than Europe. And they really want to... If they accepted you like a ramen chef, they want also to share something. That's it's really interesting to talk with the other ramen chef and get experience from them and inspiration also. And they really helped me. So really, really lucky.
Well, generally speaking, I think, chefs, not just ramen, but chefs in Japan tend to be not working together. There's no community. It's more independent and more craftsmanship.
Uh-huh.
And you learn from your master, and you don't teach for each other's advancement. So, yeah, it's a kind of a new, efforts to have. And then more knowledge sharing, more cultural development.
Yeah, exactly. It's an exchange.
Okay, so what's your plan for the future?
Oh, for the future, I'm opening the second shop in Milano. It's going to be called Casa Ramen Super. And it's going to be more izakaya place. So ramen is going to be also more creative. They going to change every week, more local, more Luca version than Japanese one. And also more dishes to share. So it's going to be a little bit bigger, not so big. So it's more comfortable for the customer. And that's the second step. So
so when it's going to open, hopefully, do you know?
I hope in January.
Wow, that's soon.
Yes, really soon, really soon.
So, good. I'm curious, what kind of ramen points do you already have on menu item?
It's going to be completely different. It's not tonkotsu, but more than chintan, so it's clear soup. What I want to do is recreate a Japanese flavor, but with Italian ingredients. So with more local, more fresh, seasonable. So that's because I want to change so often the my ramen. Also, I want to create my own style of a vegetarian one. So I think that's the vegetarian is not it's a new wave to make ramen. I think so you can make something really taste with the vegetable when they are in season. So that's my next challenge to make a ramen.
Right. Well, I'd love to try that when it comes out. Right. So, and then that's one plan. And you think, I think you, maybe you're opening a place here in New York?
I ate my first ramen, my bowl of ramen in New York. So one day I really hope to open here. So we'll see. That's sometimes a dream like become true. That's
If you keep saying it, it really comes true, I think.
Yeah.
Right. So, any investors, listeners?
Yeah, I'm Luca from Milano.
Yeah, you can always contact us for Luca's contact information.
Yeah.
All right. So, thank you for joining us today, Luca.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It was very lucky and proud to be here. Thank you very much.
Hopefully, you're going to come back again.
Okay, of course.
So, listeners, if you'd like to know more about Luca's ramen, please visit Casa Ramen. .it, that is casa-ramen.it. So it's casa-ramen.it. And if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for guests or topics of the show, please contact us at japaneats@heritageradionetwork.org. And Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes and Stitcher podcasts. And please go to iTunes and Stitcher and write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. And today's show was made possible by Corin, and our engineer is Pierre Bienemet. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.